Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Holy and gracious God, in this time, may your Spirit descend upon us. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Amen. All right, we're in the middle of our sermon series called Lent in Plain Sight, and it's during this time that we look at ordinary objects, and then we try to look at how does it draw us closer to Christ and during this season of Lent. And so far we have looked at bread, and then last week we talked about money. We looked at the book of Ezra, and that reaffirms that every gift given to God is counted and it matters. While money can be a roadblock for so many people for a variety of reasons, in the kingdom of God, we learn that God uses even the smallest coin to do great and wonderful things. And so that was last week. Today, we're going to move on to shoes. I think this has been a really fun, ordinary object to explore and ponder about what God can teach us through very innocuous means. In today's world, shoes cover a wide range of items that cover our feet. There's the common sneaker that covers our feet and gives us a nice cushion for when we walk. Then there's the expensive heels that women like to wear. Maybe we don't like to wear them, but we look cute when we wear them, right? So, but they don't cover our feet. There is no cushion when we walk, and we roll our ankles one too many times in them. There's Crocs in various colors, right, Grace? She likes Crocs.
Also, you can get them blind for in the winter.
Ooh, winter Crocs. I like that. There are flip-flops in the summer, and there's boots for people who work hard. Shoes can be as cheap as $20 at Walmart, or you can pay over $100 for a limited edition sneaker made by celebrities. I will never forget the Air Jordan craze in the 90s. Do we all remember that, by the way? I loved Michael Jordan. I loved watching him play in the 90s. I was never into sports, but that was like my time where I just loved watching basketball. I loved watching him play. Hi, Cooper. One day you're going to wear shoes too, Cooper. And they're cute little baby shoes right now. I watched Space Jam like a half a million times. I loved everything he did. And of course, then Michael Jordan also created what's called the Air Jordans. They were like high top sneakers with him, you know, making the dunk and whatever. I always secretly wanted a pair of Air Jordans. I'm not going to lie. But I knew that even as a kid, my parents would never buy me a pair of Air Jordans. So, but then there's a funny story. So about 10 years ago in seminary, one of the students that I took a class with, he came in and I noticed he was wearing a very old pair of Air Jordans. And when I saw that, I flipped out. I was like, oh my gosh, those are Air Jordans. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're still wearing them. This is awesome. And he looked at me like, I don't really know what the big deal is. But I thought it was cool nonetheless. In biblical times, however, there would not have been any Air Jordans or even a nice pair of Skechers. They would have worn sandals that would have just been enough to cover their feet when they would have walked. There are also different norms in different cultures surrounding shoes. Here in America, the general norm is that most people are okay if you wear your shoes inside the house as long as they're not overly dirty. However, in the Asian culture, you always remove your shoes before you enter the house, and that's before you enter. It's not even the first thing you do once you get inside. You do it before you walk inside. Also, in the Middle Eastern culture, it's a sign of showing disrespect to someone if you throw your shoe at them. So shoes can be a sign of status and respect, of what one does for a living, perhaps, or even shows off how great you can accessorize. But what does it have to say about God? Ironically, it is in removing your shoes that shows the most about God. In the book of Exodus, after Moses fled Egypt and went to live in the desert, he became a shepherd. And it was one of those days out in the fields with the sheep that he encountered the most famous scene in the Bible of the burning bush. It was then that God called to Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt and lead them into the promised land. But when Moses first comes to the burning bush, he doesn't realize it's God until God speaks to him from the bush itself. And God says to him, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." In that moment, Moses was encountering God in a very holy, very real way. In taking off his shoes, he recognizes the sacredness of the moment. Now, in my commentary, I also found out that removing sandals was an act of willing submission. So it was Moses submitting to God's authority, divinity, and the words that he was about to speak to him. Now, in the Christian tradition, we don't typically talk or use that term of holy ground. That's not really too much in our vocabulary. Now, there's other cultures and different traditions that have rules that before you enter the worship space, you have to remove your shoes, for example. But that's not really in our tradition, I don't believe. We don't really talk too much about holy, sacred ground like that. But we do all recognize holy ground when we encounter it. As a pastor, I recognize holy ground when people entrust their worries to me or invite me into life's difficult moments. While it's never easy in those moments, nonetheless, those times are sacred and holy because we recognize that even in the midst of hard life moments or decisions, we recognize that God is with us. Now, Thursday in Bible study, we had a fun discussion about where we felt closest to God, those moments of holy ground, so to speak. And a lot of us mentioned moments in nature, which I found was really interesting. So if you've never experienced holy ground before, the best way I can describe it is it feels like there's like a shift from the ordinary to the extraordinary. You can tell that something special and amazing and holy and good is happening in the moment. It's beyond your control. You can just tell that shift from the ordinary to something really wonderful and amazing. We don't need God to speak from a burning bush to recognize the holiness of God present in any of these moments. Now, while taking off your shoes is a sign of humility and respect for the holiness of God, I want to flip this thought around for a moment and explore how shoes can remind us of God without ever taking them off. We do a lot of things while wearing our shoes. We work, we travel, we shop, we visit, we live our general daily lives, all while wearing our shoes. Our shoes go with us unassumingly into all that we do. We put them on first thing in the morning, and they're the last thing that we take off at night. They're always with us. Now you can probably imagine where I'm going with this analogy, right? Just like our shoes are always with us, so is God always with us. And it's funny because our shoes go with us unassumingly, just like God goes with us unassumingly. We don't even realize that God is with us in a lot of situations. But just like when you're walking along and you hit something sharp, you recognize in that moment how your shoe helped protect your foot in that moment, right? It's in life's hard moments and life's trials that we recognize in those moments how much God is truly with us. And just as we walk in our shoes, so does God also walk with us. And believe it or not, God has walked in our shoes before. God sent his Son to walk amongst us, to be God in the flesh, to be fully human, and to experience all that we as humans go through. And so God has walked many miles in our shoes and knows exactly what we are going through and knows exactly what we need. When we walk in our shoes, whatever type of shoes they may be, we know that God also walks with us wherever we go. Right now, we are walking through a lot. Oh, poor people. It's okay. Right now, you and I are walking through a lot. You and I are walking through a pastoral transition, which is never easy. We are walking through denominational change on the greater level that creates unnecessary and a lot of extra anxiety for us. And of course, we are walking through what is now considered a pandemic of global and economic proportions. It was so hard this week to not stay glued to the news to find out what was happening next. It was so hard to stay away from Facebook when the federal and state officials were coming up next to give another update. Businesses, schools, and events are being shut down or canceled left and right. People are going without pay. Students will go without free meals. We're all disappointed and grieving the cancellation of exciting trips or plans that we have made. At this point, I can't even guarantee you that we will be here next Sunday to worship, as we might be mandated to cancel all worship services for the near future. These are scary times. These are uncertain times. Fear is running rampant as people are buying up all the toilet paper and disinfectants and other necessities, leaving none for others who are just as in need. So what do we do in these times of trial and fear and uncertainty? We keep on walking. Now, we might not walk to worship next Sunday. We might not walk to work if it gets canceled. We might not walk to school or whatever else we were going to walk to that is now canceled. But we're going to walk a different walk. We are going to walk a walk of faith, hope, and love. We will walk in faith that God is with us no matter how dark the times will get. We will walk in hope that God is for us, shining a light of hope and goodness into a dark and scary future. We will walk with the God of love who promised to never leave us. God will not forsake us in these times. He is not going to abandon us. So go ahead and put your shoes on, which maybe in the days ahead are going to be your house slippers. But know that God is here. God is for us. And God is with us. Amen.